May I speak to you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Wow, Jesus. Really? What exactly are we supposed to do with that? Where do we even begin? How do we find a way into something so shockingly, what's the word, inappropriate? Harsh? Divisive? Something just so obviously and plainly wrong? Well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The good news is that one key to understanding what Jesus is saying in this part of Luke's gospel is the parable of the Good Samaritan, on which I preached back in July. Now, of course, the bad news is that one key to understanding what Jesus is saying today is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which I preached on last July. Like that parable, it's frankly impossible to read this morning's gospel without noticing its radical, uncomfortable, political implications. All right, easy now. Before we roll our eyes and grit our teeth or start to tune out, let's pause with me just for a moment. I want to be very, very clear about what I mean and what I don't mean when I use a loaded word like political. Now, despite what the news media, the pop culture, or that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach may be telling you, politics is not a dirty word. Politics, y'all, is not about Washington, D.C., or the 24-hour news cycle pundits on Fox or MSNBC. It's not about campaigns or parties or public officials. It's not about liberals and it's not about conservatives. It's not about teams or tribes or identities. It's just not. Politics is about how we treat each other. It's about how we treat our fellow human beings right here at home, across our national society, around the entire world. At its deepest level, politics is about whether we see each other as human beings. Tell you the truth, sometimes it's about whether we even see each other at all. Because how we see each other, whether we see each other, determines how we treat each other. And that's what politics is. The sum total of the choices that we make, the rules and the laws that we enact, the structures that we build in order to control or influence how we all treat each other. It's all based on how we see each other. Rather, it's based on what we assume about each other. And we learn these ways of seeing, these patterns and assumptions, as children growing up, often before we even have words. So we end up following and living out these patterns day by day throughout our lives, often without even being aware of what we're doing. But here's the thing. You ready for the thing? Here's the thing. The thing is, when we see each other, and when we make assumptions about ourselves and the people around us, we're seeing through human eyes. From a human point of view. Being human as we are, our vision is more often than not distorted. How do we know that? We know it because the Bible has something to say about how we ought to see each other, about the ways we are supposed to relate to each other, about how God Almighty wants us to treat each other. The Bible has something to say about the patterns that we are meant to follow, the kinds of societies that we are commanded by God to build. And what the Bible says about how we're supposed to see and how we're supposed to treat each other typically doesn't match the way that we, in actuality, day by day, tend to see and treat each other. Today's passage from Luke, like Luke's earlier telling of the parable of the Good Samaritan, positively shocks us with its devastating upending of our established and cherished social values. When Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, the outrageous notion that everybody is my neighbor comes as a shock, because I know that the word neighbor is supposed to mean somebody who's like me, somebody who lives with me, is close to me, is one of us. Our neighbors are our people, as distinct from all those others, as distinct from those people. This morning, when Jesus tells us that loving one's mother and father prevents me from being his disciple, loving my own parents, I'm downright scandalized, because I know that there's nothing more important, nothing more sacred than family, right? I mean, doesn't the Bible say, honor thy father and mother after all? You know, the gospel does that sometimes. It does it a lot, actually, if we read closely and pay attention. It shocks us, scandalizes us, even. Understandably, we get upset. We react not only with surprise, but with real, genuine hurt. We take offense. We say things like, this isn't religion, this is politics. We forget that politics isn't about parties or teams or sides. And for the record, speaking of parties and teams and sides, Jesus does say some things that are really offensive to conservatives. And Jesus says some things that are really offensive to liberals. So no matter who we are, sooner or later, if we're paying attention, the gospel's going to upset us. And then we end up saying things like, this is not what I come to church for. Of course, that also raises a very interesting question. What exactly do we come to church for? Well, maybe we come to church for a much-needed respite from our daily, weekly, monthly grind, just trying to make a living and keep most of the bills paid. Maybe we come to church to reconnect with friends and loved ones. Maybe we're just looking for a temporary escape from all the darkness and fear that seems to be so inescapable out there. Maybe the last thing we want to hear about in church is something uncomfortable, something challenging. But the gospel says what it says, whether we want it to or not. So maybe we need to rethink our priorities. Maybe that's exactly what Jesus is telling us in his holy gospel this morning. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. We thought the Good Samaritan was a hard teaching. Are there going to be uncomfortable implications here today? Bet on it. But for God's sake, don't tune it out, and don't turn away from it either. Jesus in today's gospel calls us, commands us to think hard about all the things that jump up in front of our eyes and distort our vision. He calls us and commands us to think about our priorities, the things that we define as important, things that all too often keep us from seeing each other at all, much less seeing each other as human beings, things that keep us from seeing each other as God sees us. See, in the kingdom of God, everybody is seen and known and loved as a treasured creation of God Almighty. The gospel calls us to see ourselves and each other as God sees all of us. That's what makes the gospel political. If we start to see each other as treasured creations, as bearers of the image of God, then we have to change how we treat each other. What does that have to do with hating your mom and dad, though? Well, precisely this. We're not going to get to the kingdom of God. We're not going to learn how to see like God if we allow ourselves to put anything besides God in the place of God. In other words, God has to come first. Period. Paragraph. As my dad would say, end of discussion. Nothing else can even come close. There can only be one most important thing in our lives. Okay, fair enough, Father Christopher. It sounds pretty reasonable when you put it like that. But why hate? Why does Jesus say we have to hate our mothers and fathers, our families, even life itself? Well, on the one hand, in the ancient world, words like love and hate didn't refer to the emotions that we tend to think of when we hear those words. After all, in Jesus' time, the heart, not the head, was considered to be the seat of judgment, not passions and emotions. To love someone was to be loyal and faithful to that person, be it a teacher or a ruler, and to owe that person your allegiance. To hate, on the other hand, was the opposite. Was to be disconnected from that particular person and owe him or her no allegiance. In that sense, Jesus is saying that a person who is bound by allegiance or obligation to someone other than Jesus himself, even if it's your mother or father, can't be his disciple. But you know, in another sense, Jesus really does intend to shock and dismay us today. To surprise and to scandalize us, and to force us to confront the truth of the incarnation of the living God right in front of us. Other things might be important, perhaps. Surely family is one of them. But there is nothing, nothing more important than God. God must be the center, the source, the only real priority in our lives if we would be disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, if we think about it, we've heard that before. A person cannot serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. Today, Jesus tells us point blank, make a choice. And it's a choice with uncomfortable implications, societal, political, social, emotional, spiritual. And choice is this: whom do you serve?